into God's Word, and I appreciate that song we were just singing, because we do need God to be guiding us and teaching us. There's so many decisions that we're called to make from day to day. There's so many distractions that confront us from day to day. There's all kinds of distractions. You know, there are some that we can't help. We call them interruptions. But then there's distractions that we have to make choices in what we're going to do. If we're doing an undesirable job, how easy it is to go to something we enjoy more. Have you had that experience? I know I certainly have. And keeping the focus on what God wants is essential for us. So too often, it's not a matter of a right and a wrong, and that's what we're going to talk about today in a very familiar account in the Gospel of Luke. It's not a matter so much of right and wrong, it's a matter of knowing, God, what do you want me to do now? What is the most needed thing for me right now at this moment? I have a choice between several different good things that I know please you in the right context. But what do you want for me now? Let's go before the Lord. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have not left us as orphans. You have brought us into your family, and you have promised through your Spirit and through your Word to guide us, not just with the issues of understanding what is right and wrong, but in the daily decisions that we make, where to move, what job to take, those moment-to-moment decisions when we have several important and good things to do, but yet you have something for us particularly. So we pray, Lord, that you would teach us your way and that you would help us to be sensitive to your Spirit. We would pray that there would be nothing between our hearing the voice of your Spirit through your Word and our own desires. Lord, we ask this of you, knowing that it is your desire, in Jesus' name. Amen. You would turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And it's an interesting little passage that God instructed Luke to put in. Can you imagine Luke as God has placed a desire on his heart to be able to write this account of all the things that happened? Now, humanly speaking, you'd say, why, so many things have happened. Actually, the Lord said in the Gospel of John that Jesus did so many things that if you were trying to write a book on it, the world could not contain all that would be written about the things that Jesus did. So Luke had to be guided to selectively put certain truths into the gospel. And I imagine throughout the process, so many things came to his mind as to what I think that I should put this in. This is so important. But God directed his thoughts that he might put in what God wanted. When we look at the Gospel of Luke, we're looking at a book that is emphasizing the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, it shows his deity. But he wanted to emphasize his humanity as well. Then in chapter 10, right at the end of the chapter, comes this little account of Jesus visiting some friends. Let me read it to you. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You know, this This little account really sets before us one of those perplexing situations that we face from day to day, the good and the best at a particular time. We look at this account, and it talks about Jesus and his disciples on their way. The town would have been Bethany. The home would have been that of Martha and Mary, and we also believe that her brother Lazarus. The three were brother and sisters. It seems the way it's recorded in the Gospels that Martha must have perhaps been the one that had owned the home. How, we don't know. But she invited the Lord. It says Martha opened her home to him. Well, of course, it wasn't just to him. He was traveling with disciples. Now, the scary thought is, if you just look a little earlier, it talks about Jesus sending out 72 to do his work. We would assume that this is the 12 that would travel with him and that he was closest to. But think about that. She opened up her home to 12 people to show hospitality to them. Hospitality was very, very important in those days. It's important today. As a matter of fact, God commands believers to be hospitable to one another. And we can be hospitable to those who don't know the Lord either. It's an important part of our testimony. And I think in much of the Western world, it's been something that's been neglected. But this was a very important thing in these days, in that place, for hospitality to be shown. I can't speak as far as India. Is hospitality very important in India? Good, good. We talk with people all the time. Joni just had a class at our Village Missions Conference, and she had a couple of our missionaries speaking on the importance of hospitality, that it is a command of the Lord that we be hospitable. She'll also be teaching at Moody on that topic. And as soon as Joni, when we go to a missions conference, generally schools will ask us to provide some topics that we could speak to the students about. Now, not all of them are chosen, but when Joni put down the hospitality commands, I knew it was going to be picked. And oh, is she excited about that? Weren't you, Joni? Sometimes you kind of hope that they won't pick your seminar because you know there's going to be a lot of preparation for it. But it's an important thing, and it was very important in these days as Martha graciously opened the home knowing that she would be providing for the needs of these people. And we said this, possibly the 12 and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? That's a lot of work. Now, we don't know if there were servants in the home. There very well could have been. But either way, it was a lot of work in a non-microwave time. You know, you can't call Papa John's and say, hey, you know, deliver enough pizza for 12 people. Give me pepperoni and all of these others, you know. These things had to be made from scratch. Oftentimes, you had to go out and get the products right at that time. So we're talking about a big deal. Martha did the right thing. Certainly the Lord Jesus Christ was traveling through. And so she invites him, even though she knew it would be a lot of work. She did the right thing. And the Lord emphasized the importance of hospitality. And later on we see in the epistles the importance of hospitality. Well, she opened up her home, and then we read something about her sister. Her sister, Mary, said that she sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, we've got to see a couple of things here. Martha, culturally, was doing what she was supposed to do. You invite someone to the house, you're responsible for them. And that's a right thing to do. Now Mary, on the other side, well, later on, we're told it's the right thing. From the perspective of the people at that time, she really wasn't doing the right thing. People would have said, well, you know, you really should be helping your sister in the kitchen. Not only that, she was sitting at the feet of foot of the rabbi, the Lord Jesus Christ. This was something that was not an ordinary thing either at that particular time. Remember, well, some of you would not remember W.C. Fields. There's many a rabbi that would have said, "Go away, kid, you bother me. That's not a place for you. This is for the men to sit here and listen." But of course, we do notice the Lord did not say that. And later on, we'll see what he did say. So she was kind of culturally outside of what she would normally be doing. But yet we find out that she was in the right place. So we have a person, Martha, who's doing what was culturally right, as well as showing the hospitality that certainly the Lord would want his followers to practice. And we have Mary, who is going against the norm at this particular time. And she's sitting and she's listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you when you have hospitality in your home, but I'm very thankful for what I end up doing usually. Joni usually does all the work, and I get to be the host for the guests. And, of course, it could be tragic if it was the other way around. Joni would be fine as the host, but I don't think I would do very well at preparing a meal. Talk about getting sick in the Grand Canyon. This could make, this could be overwhelming. All right, so we have this interesting scene. We don't know how large the house was, but we can take a guess that it was it probably was somewhat crowded in the room where they met, and they sat around. Maybe there were a few chairs, and we know that Mary was sitting on the floor, probably with others, and she was in an excellent and prominent spot. But we come to verse 40 here, and we see Martha. Martha, it says, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, that's an interesting statement because just culturally, she was doing what she should have done. But if the scriptures say she was distracted, we need to think, what was she distracted from? Well, the Lord is going to explain what was most important to him at that time. And that's what Mary was doing. But you can picture, she is there, she's working in the kitchen and maybe making other arrangements, sending people out to purchase things for the supplies, and there's all kinds of things to do, and she's doing it single-handedly, and she finds her sister is not there, but is sitting on the floor listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe that's something she really would like to be doing herself. And her attitude changes from one that was right, the welcoming hospitality, to one that inside becomes very sinful. Have you had that type of experience yourself? Perhaps serving in the local church? Perhaps you're one, and I have seen so many servants here who are willing to do certain jobs, who are consistent in that, and you're doing it, and then you see someone who always seems to be enjoying the fellowship while you're working. And maybe it hasn't happened, but does it cross your mind a couple of times? You know, why aren't they helping? You know, we're all trying to work here. How something that is good and pleasing to the Lord can all of a sudden change. We put this little bit of, she's making the food, she's making the meal, she's making the home hospitable, but now this little bit of poison comes in, and it's the poison of self. That is the biggest problem that we as human beings deal with since the fall of man. Self. Pride is one of the fruit of that. She's destroying the meal, and she doesn't know it yet. She is as devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ as anyone that we could think of. And she showed that devotion right to the end. I would challenge anyone who wants to criticize Martha because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ dearly and deeply. But as self started to come into the picture, we see a change in attitude that causes her to do things that we just marvel at. We just say, how could she do that? Just picture the scene as she's working there. Do you think that she's happy? Do you think she's happy as she's doing it, pleasantly preparing things? No. Maybe banging a couple of pots and pans? Anybody ever do that? to let people know you're doing something here? I don't know. Maybe muttering to herself? This is before she made a very bold move. She's doing the right thing culturally, but she is about to make a move that is so against anything in their own culture, so against what we would understand devotion to our Savior would, that it didn't just happen. She'd been stewing. She'd been thinking, I'm doing the work. My sister's not doing anything. And let's look what happens here. The Bible says she was distracted from the preparations and she made a decision. There's a point of decision here. Now, do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ was unaware of what was going on? I don't think so. I don't think you'd have to have supernatural abilities in order to understand what the situation could bring about. When there's one person doing all of the work and another not, we know human nature. We know ourselves. But the Lord also had the supernatural end of things too, which he could have known not only the actions, but the heart. But there was a point that Martha had to make a decision. Am I going to go on and do this job as unto the Lord? Because I love him so, and she did love him. I think she was glad to serve the disciples as well. And her decision was to approach Jesus and say something to him. And listen to what she said to him. And a lot of times we just pass right over the comments she made. She came to him. First, she went from where she was. She walked into a room that was crowded with people. Jesus is teaching there. That's an interruption in itself. And what does she say? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? Now, we who live on this side of the cross, could we question the care of the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. We couldn't. But you know something? Sometimes I wonder if we don't anyway. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever thought that? Maybe not in those words. Doesn't the Lord care about me? And it might be a situation like this where you feel that you're the one who's taking the burden of a ministry or the burden of a family. Don't you care, Lord? Don't you know what's going on? Or do you know what's going on and you just don't care about it? It's not important to you. What a question. I wonder, several times I've wondered, if after the cross she thought about this. And thought, boy, how could I have said that to the Lord now that I've seen what he's been willing to do for me? I wonder if she thought about it and it brought tears to her eyes. How about us? Have we been in that position where we actually question? Lord, don't you care? Of course, after the breaking of bread, how could we? How could we not? Right? Have any doubt of God's care for us? What about when we get home? And hopefully your husband said something to you ahead of time. Hey, honey, I just invited 12 people over for dinner. Well, your wife might say, don't you care first? You're going to help me, right? But I think that we get to those spots sometimes where we don't understand what's going on. But I believe the Lord knew exactly what was going on. And this was part of the process that God was using to work on Mary in her point of weakness. Sounds to me like she was that A-type, a go-getter. She got the job done. Get her done was her motto. And when it wasn't getting done and she needed help, get her done. I'm going to go and tell Jesus. And so she walks into the room, and here's the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that he is teaching there. And in front of everyone, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Don't be so shocked at these words. Because I think that maybe not publicly, privately, we have muttered similar types of words. The first thing is, don't you care? Yes, he cares. And even by that point, you would have hoped she learned it. But she was upset. She was angry. She wanted results. And she actually questioned whether the Lord cared about her. But then she tattles. Now, kids like to do this, don't they? "Hey, Mom, Dad, do you know what Johnny did?" Kids like to tattle, don't they? She's doing this in front of the others. We have no indication that she pulled the Lord aside. We have no indication that she called Mary aside and said, "Look, you know, Lord, I'm really struggling here with this. I need some help. Could you help?" She was very specific. As far as we know, this was a public altercation that took place. Embarrassing. You'd think it would be embarrassing for Mary. But you know something? She was angry. And it would not surprise me if that's what she wanted. She probably thought Mary should be embarrassed. She's not doing what she's supposed to do. Wow. Have you been there? Have you been there? You don't have to admit it. I'm not going to ask for show of hands. But there are some times where we feel so affronted by something that someone has done that telling them privately isn't enough. We want to make sure other people know because they should feel ashamed. That's what she thought she was doing. Was it the right thing? It's amazing the transition where she starts out doing just right. "Lord, come with your disciples to our house and we'll take care of you." But look at the poison that got in. And it's really polluting the whole thing, polluting the hospitality. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Here's the rabbi. She starts out by saying, "Lord," she got that right. But how much did it mean? I know that when there's a portion in Scripture in Matthew where it talks about people saying, "Lord, Lord, we did these things in your name." You remember? And then the Lord said, "Depart, I never knew you." Sometimes we throw around the name of the Lord. Lord, Master. You say, "Master, don't you care?" Now, not every master has to care about the things that we care about. We know that. But Jesus is different. He did care. We know that. Not every master knows what's going on, but Jesus did. He knew exactly what was going on. But he understood what was going on, not just in the kitchen, but in the heart of Martha. And this whole scenario, I have no doubt, God was playing out to continue to mold and shape Martha to be the devoted follower that she wanted to be, that she was already, but she needed growth, as each one of us do. God is in the process of making every single one of us like his son. Are you there yet? If you are, I'll send the elders to talk to you. Because I don't believe there's anybody in this room that would dare say, "Oh yes, I've reached it. I'm just like the Lord Jesus Christ." And the Lord wanted Martha to become more like himself as well. So this is all part of that teaching process. So that she can see things in herself maybe she never thought of. She may never have pictured herself approaching Jesus in that way. But she let loose and she did. And it ends with her commanding the Lord, giving him a command. Tell her to help me. That's what happens with us as well. when our self, our ego, our desires get in the way to what God has called us to at any given time. We can go from doing the right thing to horrible things. We serve with a mission group called Village Missions. We see this all the time. We have seen people go into full-time ministry with all of the ambition and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they experience hardships, sometimes from people in the churches that they serve, they become bitter and hard. They start demanding things of God. And many have walked away from serving Him completely. I could get you statistics that would make your head spin of how many passionate people would go to serve the Lord, and then the experiences come and they feel like they're not being treated right or unfairly, and that unfairness is pointed to God. And they become confused and walk away from serving Him. It is a tragedy. It is one of the saddest things you can see. Broken men and women who shows such desire and to sacrifice for the Lord, all of a sudden, as a self gets in and starts poisoning, even the good things they're doing, become discouraged and walk away. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to be listening to God's Spirit and remember, Jesus cares. Never put that word don't in front of it. He cares. What's going on right now, I don't know. I don't understand it, but I know He cares. Don't you know, Lord, what has happened? Mary's left me in the kitchen. Don't you know, Lord, what has happened? I've just been fired unjustly from my job. I've been fired because I was standing for You. I don't know if anybody has had that. I remember years ago meeting a dear man, dear brother in Christ in Cuba who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He was superintendent of a large school district. And as soon as the word got out that he was a believer, they gave him another important position, because I'm not demeaning this. They made him a kindergarten teacher. And it was because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, kindergarten teacher's extremely important. But he went from a position of great authority to one where he didn't have that same authority other than over the kids that he was serving as a kindergarten teacher. I could see him crying out, Lord, don't you know what's happened here? It's kind of because of you. You know, I was telling people about you. It's not fair. Yet, this man, well, that wasn't the case. He loved Jesus Christ. And he said, all right, well, the Lord has me reaching these kindergartners and living my life of faith before them so that they might trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen to Jesus' response. He responded probably as no other rabbi at that time would have responded. And I love the way he does this. Martha, Martha. Twice he says her name. Just in my mind, as soon as he said, Martha, Martha, I would have thought, the Lord knows me. He knows what I'm going through. He cares about me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You know, that response of the Lord Jesus Christ in a heart that was hard could have invoked quite a response. Think about it a minute in your own situations or people that you know. She's complaining that she's not getting any help, and the Lord is basically saying, no, she's where she needs to be right now. This is actually the better place. And He's not saying that she was wrong in taking care of the things she was taking care of. Her problem was she started looking at herself and then started looking at others and saying, I shouldn't be doing this alone. God gave her a privilege, the work she was doing. God gave Mary that privilege of what she was doing. But I think in a way this was an invitation. Say, come on. Come on, Martha. You can sit down too, and you can listen to the teaching. Do you think that really there was going to be a problem with the meal? Who's going to take care of the food? Well, I think the Lord did a pretty good job a couple chapters earlier, where he fed 5,000 people. He can take care of that, can't he? And I think this is something that Martha needed to realize.
The person in her presence was much bigger than the problem that she was experiencing with all the preparation, the things that distracted her. Brothers and sisters, we are faced with distractions and choices day after day of what is good, what is best for any given time. If we are not relying on the Lord each moment and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, if you looked earlier in that chapter, you have the story of the Good Samaritan. And that story came out when one of the teachers of the law said to Jesus, who's my neighbor? Wrong question. The question should have been, how do I care for my neighbor? Lord, show me how should I care for my neighbor? Instead of saying, hey, I just want to know the technical thing so I know who I can care about and who I don't have to care about and I can get my work done. Before that, it says that Jesus sent out the 72. And it says that the 72 came back from ministering throughout the countryside. And they get there before Jesus and they say, wow, this is so cool. This is great. Demons are listening to us. They got distracted by a pretty neat thing. But what did Jesus say the most important thing was? He says, don't be glad about that. Be glad about the work that God is doing. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he says, however, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Every day we need to be reminding ourselves of what is most important to Him. He gives it to us in His Word and He speaks to our hearts. What will you do with your afternoon? What job should I take? Nathan, you just went through that, didn't you? Lord, where would you have me go? Ohio! Of all places! When Village Mission sent us to Ohio, we had not, that wasn't even on our radar. Sorry guys, nothing wrong with Ohio, but we hadn't even thought about it. And by God's grace, sometimes He takes the harnesses of our lives and He just turns us. Ab, you just went through that yourself, didn't you? Not that long ago. Where do we go? Lord, show me and give me clear directions so that when I go and when I do things, I know that's what you want me doing right now. Let's never forget that part of our lives, brothers and sisters. That daily communion with Him. And when we read chapter 11 and on, we hear some of the teachings that Jesus is giving in different places. And no doubt He was sharing with the people at that time. He said, Mary has chosen the better part. She's spending time with me and being directed by me. You know, that's something all of us need to do. We're going to battle tomorrow morning. Do we sleep or do we get up and spend some time with the Lord? Or whatever your schedule might be. Oh, I need my rest. I know I need my rest. My wife just changed the linen. Hate to let it go to waste. Every Sunday, how many cars do you drive by that are still in their driveway? You make a choice each day. Well, Martha made a choice, and I'm not going to say whether it was the right choice or the wrong choice at that time, but her second choice that followed was not right, of reprimanding the Lord. We know that. Let's find out right from the beginning so we don't make that next choice, which could be displeasing to Him. So that when we do desire to serve Him, it's with a whole heart. Let's go before Him. Our Father, we are so thankful for Your patience with us. Lord, we see in our dear sister Martha things that we can find in ourselves. Jealousies that come up. Pride. even arrogance and the desire to punish others, Lord. All of these things that can come into our lives, and we are your people and we have experienced your grace in such a way that this world cannot even understand unless you reveal it to them, Lord. Oh, Father, I would pray as a body of believers that each one of us might spend time in your presence so that as we go through our day, we can trust that you are guiding us in the little decisions that aren't specifically written in your word. Because, Lord, I know it's the desire of each one here to please you, just as it was Martha's desire right at the beginning of this account to please you, Lord. Oh, Father, help us to give you a pure offering that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.